You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Dodger security guard. Gotta get out the way of that ball.
That's a vet move. Live to see another day. That is not a chance to be
Save
a hero.
The chair too.
Let's start the show.
He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We Whoa, are Jalen and Jacoby. What exactly is it that we do, though?
We get people.
Yes. 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 Yes.
What they want.
Jalen, first of all, we got to start the show by celebrating the life of Jeannie Cassandra Rose. Happy birthday to Jeannie Rose, who unfortunately we lost. We have Rashad Bateman joining us later on in the program. We have an update on the future of the Brooklyn Nets, but we start the show, of course, with the NFL draft. Tomorrow, franchises will change, and everyone's talking about the number three pick. Everybody's talking about what the 49ers are going to do, but there's also another pivot point, decision-making spot in the top of the draft,
Talk to me.
Lions. If you look at these projections,
who did
there
you say
will
control
be
the draft? Who did you say control the draft again?
The 49ers. But there's another pivot point at seven with the Lions, and it looks like there will be at least a couple highly ranked quarterbacks available and Heisman Trophy winner, national champion Devonta Smith available as well. So, Mr. Rose, what do you think the Lions should do if this is the way it shakes out?
There might be one human being like, why is he hollering and screaming about his team? It's called being a diehard fan of a squad that has never been to a Super Bowl. So, yes, days like the draft, they're like playoff games for us, dog. This is wild card weekend. This is wild card weekend for a Lions fan. And I'm going to tell you this, Jacoby. I know you want to probably take the Heisman Trophy winner. Hope that he becomes the next Randy Moss or something out there like a gazelle running past people in Devonta Smith. Or what about Ja'Marr Chase? Can he be like Don't our be version of a Megatron? But we've had the all-time great receiver. You know what we need? A quarterback. That's what we need. And Mac Jones may slide to us. No shots, no shade at Mac Jones. Alabama is that deal. He's that deal. I think he's going to be a really nice pocket quarterback. But I would love for my team to get somebody that's a little bit agile in and out of the pocket. You know what I'm saying? Justin Fields, he can run. He's pretty agile. And if you keep a clean pocket around him, he's a surgeon. He's a surgeon. As a Michigan Wolverine fan, I promise you he's a surgeon. However, if you really want to, like we started the show with that line, with that security guard moving out of the way of that line drive, Trey Lance. If people are saying your name and it sound like Patrick Mahomes as a comparison, like I think I heard that. I don't know if I heard it. My hearing ain't the best. You know what I'm saying? You know my vision ain't the best, but I think I heard somebody say, if I really look closely, that might be Patrick Mahomes. If that's the case, I want to take that chance. I hope he, Trey Lance, becomes a member of my Detroit Lions at seven.
You know what I want to see them do just to upset you? They're going to trade out. You know they're going to trade out of the pick. They're going to trade down, get a first next year, and end up with like a really solid lineman. That's exactly what they're going to do. And I can't wait to do the show on Friday after they trade this pick. Moving on to the NBA, we had two significant games in the Western Conference. The Blazers beat the Pacers, and the Mavericks went on a 28-0 run to beat the Warriors. This is significant because those are the two teams that sit at 6-7 trying to stay away from a play-in game. Right now, the Mavs have a one-game lead over the Blazers. Jalen, when you look at the future, about 10 games left, which team do you think will be playing in the play-in elimination, and which team do you think will be the number six seed?
Did you see Luka? And I want to frame this for everybody. Okay. There's a player that once played in the NBA. His nickname was Black Jesus. Earl the Pearl Monroe.
Uncle Earl.
I'm not saying that Luka is Earl the Pearl. What I am saying is, when I see their size for guards, their skill set, how they put people on their hips and flirt with triple doubles, their body types, it doesn't seem like they ever are sped up because they're not the fastest and they're not the most athletic. I can't front Jacoby. When I watch Luka, it reminds me of what Earl the Pearl would look like in today's game. And I love it so much. Look at how he's filling up the stat sheet. Look at how he's filling up the stat
39
sheet.
39 points last night.
I think that they're going to get the sixth spot. They're getting the sixth spot. And they're extremely well coached. Shout to Rick Carlisle, because I'll look up Trey Burke, Tim Hardaway Jr., Draylen Brunson, all playing quality minutes. Finney Smith playing quality minutes. And before you know it, they still can maintain the sixth seed, whether Porzingis is being in or out of the lineup. They beat Steph Curry for the third time in his career this season by 30-plus points. They was waxing.
It was wild. Watching the game, I was looking at the score, like, is it 70-48 right now? Like, I just couldn't even believe that was the actual score. And look, it's easy to pile on after a game like this, but watching that Warriors team, I'm like, I'm not sure they're Thompson and Wiseman away. Like, I'm not sure they're Thompson and Wiseman away, and they will most definitely be in the play-in, and we will see how that plays out. Now we take our attention to the Eastern Conference, where the Nets got a weird win against the Raptors. Kyrie didn't play great. Durant didn't play great. Jeff Green led him in scoring, but we have an update from Steve Nash, who said that Harden still has a ways to go before he is back. Jalen, let's say he comes back right around the playoffs, maybe a game or two before the playoffs. What do you think that impact will be on the future of this Nets team?
Okay, here's something you appreciate.
Okay.
How many times do you take days off?
Never.
How many times do I take days off?
Never.
Who's our backup crew?
The Nets. Jalen, what does that have to do with the Brooklyn Nets?
Who's our backup crew? Nobody. And I'm going to tell you why. Because if I'm not here, somebody might sit in and do the show, but Jalen's still in the title. Jacoby's still in the title. They're not gonna win the East, Jacoby, without all three of those guys. Mm-hmm. Ain't no substituting who's in the title. You and I are the title. That big three's the title. I know you wanna look at the Nets and say, oh, just with KD and Kyrie, they'll win the East. Not gonna be able to do it. I believe if you feel that way, you're not respecting the journey. And let me tell you what's going to happen on the journey. For these fantastic players, I've called James Harden years ago the most unique offensive weapon the game has seen. And I stood by that. However, you know what they don't have on the interior? An all NBA level big. And you know what they might have to do in the Eastern Conference? Play against the Miami Heat and Bam Adebayo. How about that?
Jalen.
They might have to play against Giannis and the Bucks, Embiid and the Sixers. And I believe those dominant bigs, if I had to pick the field versus the Nets, I would take the field as we have this conversation today.
Jalen, I had an epiphany. I realized what these Brooklyn Nets are. The Brooklyn Nets are an NFT. The Brooklyn Nets are cryptocurrency. They're Bitcoin. They're like an idea that you know has value, but you don't really understand and you can't touch. Like, there's cash that has value, and then there's cryptocurrency, which is like a hypothetical thing that is important and has value. And that is what the Brooklyn Nets are. They're an idea of a great basketball team. They're a concept of a great basketball team, yet we've never seen them as a basketball team. That is how I view this Brooklyn Nets team, but I'm not ready to count them out yet. Much like Bitcoin, the value keeps rising and rising and rising and becoming more prominent. And yeah, sure, Harden's a ways away, but that doesn't mean he's out for the season. And if all three of these players are on the floor, there is not a team in the Eastern Conference that will beat them in a seven-game series. The Nets are Bitcoin. Invest in the Bitcoin now.
I like what you did there.
Invest now in the cryptocurrency.
I like what you did there.
Moving on to a team also in the Eastern Conference, but performing way below expectations, and that are the Boston Celtics. Now, I have to say they were without Jason Tatum, Kemba Walker, and Time Lord. However, they lost to a team that has lost 14 straight games and isn't even trying to win. They lost to the Thunder. Jalen Rose, what does that mean to you that this team, although missing some star players, lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder and ended their 14-game losing streak?
You know, the conversations we have on and off wax. And what we were saying off wax about the Celtics recently spilled onto wax.
Oh, put it on wax, Jay.
We didn't need this game to actually happen to say what we've been saying.
Say what you said yesterday before the game even started.
The Boston Celtics have been my most disappointing team in the NBA this season. They truly have. The reason why we're able to celebrate the excellence of the Knicks and the Hawks is because they're doing better than the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just think about that for a second. And you know how much I love Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Like, those are two of my favorite young players, especially a namesake. You know how much I love Marcus Smart. But they need Kemba to be all NBA that they traded for. He wasn't all-star this year. You said Time Lord missed the game. They got like two or three Williams. I wish that they were one player. Tristan's been inconsistent. Yeah, he's a really good offensive rebounder. They're not getting quality minutes at the five. But then you have to look over to the sideline at Brad Stevens. They have two all-NBA performers, Jacoby. They got to be playing better than they're playing. They look uninspired. They're not consistently playing with a level of tenacity and toughness defensively. And, of course, you know how it works in professional sports. When they're making it to conference finals, we're going to be giving Brad Stevens love, and we're going to be talking about what Indiana's offering him. However, this Boston Celtic team has been an underachieving one, and when we talk about the players, we must acknowledge the coach as well.
They just gave Brad Stevens an extension, and you have to wonder, if things go poorly and let they get in the play-in and they lose, if they end up not in the playoffs, you have to wonder if they will regret that extension. Why are you saying that, Mr. Rose?
They're not going to regret it. I think they're happy with him and what he's accomplished. However, I just want to make sure I acknowledge that this has been an underachieving squad. Like, you'll take Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Marcus Smart on any squad.
Of course.
If I had to pick people in positions to do what they do to end games, they would be like three of the top five players at their positions doing what they do. So when I watch them give up uncontested layups and dunks, it's something that's unacceptable.
They've lost three straight games, and they just lost to a team that's literally trying not to win games and lost 14 in a row. Jalen, the NFL draft is tomorrow. That's coming up tomorrow, but what is coming up next is a gentleman who is joining us. Rashad Bateman joins us after this very short break. You're not going to want to miss that. One of the most exciting receivers in the draft right after this.
That was against Michigan.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here in Pier 17 in New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen joining us right now on the show is one of the most exciting prospects in the NFL draft.
Michigan,
former
nightmare.
Minnesota wide receiver Rashad Bateman joins us on Jalen Jacoby right now. Rashad, thank you so much for taking the time.
Appreciate it. Thank you all for having me.
Rashad, we've been doing our research on you, and we read an article that you used to sleep with a football, sort of like tucked, and walk around the house with it at seven years old. What inspired you to do that?
I just think, you know, growing up, just sitting in the front room watching football all day, I got addicted to the game. You know, I fell in love with it. And being from where I'm from, I knew it was my way out. So just having that love for it at a young age definitely helped me out.
I heard it in his voice, Jacoby. Either you sling crack rock or you got a wicked jump shot. That's a dope Tupac shirt you rocking. By the way, you were undersized as a teenager. How did now growing into the type of physical player you've become and a productive player you've become, how did that motivate you?
It definitely motivated me just because a lot of schools told me that I was too small and things like that. So, you know, being able to go to college, you know, attack weight room and get bigger, faster, stronger, definitely made me feel more confident in my game. Everything's happened for a reason, but, you know, size really don't matter. You know, at the end of the day, you just playing football, man. It's all business.
Exactly. Now, we watched these highlights. You switched your number from 13 to 0 senior year. What was the motivation behind that?
After George Floyd was murdered in Minneapolis, you know, I just wanted to use my platform for a positive cause. So that's why I changed my number to 0 for zero tolerance against racism. That's what I stand for. That's what I believe in. So I just want to use my platform as a positive, you know, message.
As a fellow Big Ten alum, I salute you, my brother. And extremely noble that you chose to use your platform for something that's a lot larger than yourself. That's extremely admirable. Going into this year's NBA NFL draft, however, there are a lot of other big name receivers that are being talked about. You got a Heisman Trophy winner, a couple of guys from Alabama, as a matter of fact. You got Ja'Marr Chase. So what separates you from those guys?
You know, I'm not going to sit here and get into all that. You know, time will tell. I got COVID. I wasn't at my best. You know, I kind of fell off in 2020, as people would say. But, you know, I'm just going to keep working. You know, my work will prove for itself. And, you know, time will tell. So I'm just excited to get back on the football field to get ready to compete.
So you spent some time training with DK Metcalf and Odell Beckham Jr. What was that experience like and what did you learn?
It's definitely a cool experience, you know, because I look up to both of those guys growing up watching them play. You know, both of those guys have been through a lot in their careers, you know, and to see them, you know, be able to steal a sale at the highest level. That's why I admire them two the most. So, you know, it's definitely exciting, you know, definitely getting to be around them. Seeing how pro athletes work was definitely beneficial to me. They both gave me some good advice. So, you know, I'm going to take it and use it in my life as well.
Well, you're about to go to the league and do work because I watch Big Ten games really closely. And you went to work against my Wolverines consistently. So I'm actually a fan of yours. How did playing in the Big Ten get you ready for the NFL?
You know, I just feel like in Big Ten, you got everything, to be honest, from good receivers to good defenses. So being able to excel in the Big Ten, is like, to me, one of the slept-on conference. So just going in there every weekend, you know, you can get beat just like you can in every other conference. So just going on there, you know, compete with everybody, and that definitely just made everybody better.
We've been talking about the draft for months now, and every minute gets closer and closer. And what is your plan for draft day? Like, what is your day tomorrow?
My day, you know, just wake up, get a fresh cut, of course, and then, you know, after that, I'm going to just vibe throughout the day with my homies and some family and friends, and then late at night, you know, I'm going to go home with my family and friends as well, you know, to get ready to go through the night.
What does it mean to you, your family, your community? I heard it in your voice. As somebody that walked around with a football since you were 7 years old, what does it now mean to you to not only get drafted, but have a chance to play in the NFL and chase and pursue your dreams?
It definitely feels good. It just feels good to be the standard, to be honest, you know, just to give kids in my city and the surrounding cities hope, you know, to show them that it's possible to make it. And also, you know, with athletes that's going to Minnesota, Minnesota is a very, you know, underlooked school. So just being able to go there, you know, just being able to be the standard and show people that it's possible has always been the goal of mine.
Well, we're so excited to watch you get drafted tomorrow, and I'm so excited to watch you in the league and mark down all the teams that drafted receivers in front of you and just take them out week by week as you go through them in the NFL.
Yeah,
I know you're going to do it in your head. You won't say it, but you know you're going to do it. We appreciate you so much for taking the time to join us on Jalen and Jacoby.
Thanks for the love. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll be back with much more right after this. Two big games tonight on ESPN starting at 7:30. It is the Lakers going to Washington to take on the Wizards. And then at 10 p.m., the battle of two of the best in the Western Conference. The Clippers go to Phoenix to take on the Suns. Both of those tonight on ESPN. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, we have two potential boxing matches with three Hall of Famers and one dude from YouTube. We start with Floyd Mayweather taking on Jake Paul's brother, Logan Paul. The other one is potentially Mike Tyson and Lennox Lewis. Which one of these two fights are you more interested in watching?
One of my favorite things to see in sports is Floyd get money. So just that happening, that just makes me happy. Now, I've actually been in Las Vegas and watched Tyson and Lennox Lewis literally fight in their prime. That's the answer to this question.
I want to see Floyd Mayweather beat up Logan Paul and then beat up Jake Paul, and then I want to never see or hear from the Paul brothers again. Jalen, today's a significant, difficult day for you. Why is that?
My mother, Jeannie Cassandra Rose, would have turned 80 today. I just want to say we love and miss you, Ma. I'm forever grateful for all of the sacrifices you made for me, our family. The creation of the name Jalen is something, one of the things that's going to help carry her legacy. And I'm just really grateful that my mom meant everything to me and did everything for me. And now I'm going to do the best I can to represent her legacy along with my family. So rest in peace, Ma. She would have turned 80 today.
We'll be back tomorrow on ESPN at 2 p.m. as always. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content with our guests. We're now joined by former Minnesota wide receiver Rashad Bateman. Rashad, we read that after you get drafted, you, your mom, and your two brothers are getting butterfly tattoos. What is the significance of that?
You know, my mom always liked butterflies. You know, she really never told us why until recently. You know, a butterfly, you know, they start out as a caterpillar and they go through some stuff. And at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, they turn into this beautiful butterfly that everybody is attached to and that they love. Resembles peace, and, you know, kind of the next chapter in life. After tomorrow, I just feel like I have the opportunity to do something good for my family for the rest of our lives. You know, that's definitely important. Going through things that I did as a child with my mom and my family and my brothers, we've been through a lot. So I know this tattoo would mean a lot as well.
I've been there. I definitely been there. When I was about to get drafted, Jacoby, I got nothing to lose tattooed on me. And I understand. Like the passion in your voice and how much this gonna mean for you, your family, and your community. So can you just introduce our audience to your family dynamics? Where are you from? What was it like for you growing up and how it got you to the point where now you're gonna be an NFL draft pick and I believe a terrific player in the NFL?
I'm from Tifton, Georgia, very small town. I grew up in a very toxic household with an abusive stepfather, things like that. I moved around houses, a lot. Being in Tifton, my mom went through a lot for us keeping a job, trying to make ends meet and things like that. So just going through all that has definitely made us a stronger person, a stronger family. So, this is just the next right step for our family.
That's so inspirational to hear. I'm so happy that you're going to be able to provide for that family very shortly. And we also read that you were a pretty good basketball player when you were in high school. You still get out on the court and play at all?
No, I don't really play that much, but I'll pick up basketball and shoot every now and then. But yeah, basketball was almost a path that I took. But, everything happens for a reason.
So This question is personal. So I'm a Michigan Wolverine. I'm from Detroit. I grew up loving Amazing Blue. And I know sometimes we have a level of arrogance that other schools see in us, and or sometimes people believe we get love that we don't deserve. Mm-hmm. In particular, in football, recently under Harbaugh, and basically the last 20 years against Ohio State. So take me into the locker room. When y'all about to play against Michigan, what do y'all say to get y'all motivated to try to play against us and beat us?
We don't do anything out of the extraordinary. We treat every game individually. The opponent is the opponent. We prepare the same way. We go to work the same way. Every team is beatable. But obviously, you know, Michigan and Ohio State, those teams got some respect on their name. But, you know, we knew that, you know, we respected that. But at the end of the day, you know, we just had a job to do. So we just went out there and did that.
See what I mean, Jacoby? See what that's my point.
He's media trained. He's lying. He's just media trained. You know, he just knows he's doing media. He's saying the right things. We know they're in the locker room, like, we about to beat the brakes off them. Like, we're going to wax Michigan. They don't deserve this and that. You know it. Give us that brown jug.
None of that.
So you came on the show today rocking the Tupac shirt. So we got to know, like, who are some of your favorite artists, current and sort of all time?
But to be honest, I really only listen to one artist a lot. That's probably Juice WRLD. To be honest, I like Juice WRLD. You know, his flow is cold. You know, also his little prodigy, the Kid LAROI. Now that Juice WRLD, you know, passed away, I listen to a lot of him. And Lil Uzi, those are probably my top three artists that I listen to every single day. So that's my flow.
So draft day is approaching. What is it going to look like once you get picked? And here's what I mean. When I got picked, I went from having friends and family to having a staff and an entourage, because now I'm the CEO of the family conglomerate. You're gonna have an agent and a manager and a business manager and all of these different people. So as an entrepreneur and a football player, what are some of the steps that you hope to start taking now to make sure that you're prepared once this moment happens?
You know, for me, what's important to me is, you know, make sure I'm keeping my circle tight. You know, I made some friends in college and things like that. But also, like, when I come back home, I hang out with the same friends I've been hanging out with since sixth grade. So just continue to keep my circle tight, just because, you know, it's a crazy world, it's a messy world, it can get ugly real quick. So just being able to know to maintain that circle and keep it tight, you know, I think it's going to be really, really beneficial for me.
Well, we're so excited to see you get drafted tomorrow night. Whatever franchise you end up on, they're going to be very happy with you. Congratulations.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate the love. Best of luck.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is podcast exclusive. I want to thank Rashad Bateman for joining us, giving us some podcast exclusive content. Now, Jalen, we love power couples here in this show, and I want to give you an update on one of the most powerful power couples in the game. That is Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez, who were together, were engaged, broke up, got back together, broke up again. And now, Us Weekly is reporting that A-Rod will not give up on the J-Lo relationship. He's willing to do anything to make it work. I have a theory about this, Mr. Rose. Sounds like he messed up. I don't know. I'm not doing any reporting. Sounds like he did something wrong. Because when you do the "I'll do anything to make this work," that sounds like you did something wrong. That's all I know.
And so from the outside looking in, like, I have respect and appreciation for both of them, how I got introduced to them. A-Rod is a baseball player when he's with Seattle, just a young phenom. And then went on to become, like, one of the highest paid players in sports and really started to change the dynamics of the contracts you currently see in baseball when he went to the Yankees. Was always someone clearly attached to the steroid era and lying about it, and then admitted lying about it. One of the things about his personal and professional ascension is, though he is one of the greatest baseball players of all time and in the Hall of Fame and has so many things going for him outside of the sport as an entrepreneur. One of the things I believe that started to change a lot of people's perception of him from where I sat were fans of J-Law. Mm. I believe for public consumption, she started to help make him likable again.
Yep.
And people stopped talking, start talking less about his baseball career and start talking more about him right now, including being the owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yep, I remember when she performed at the Super Bowl, sort of A-Rod was there supporting her and kind of part of that story, and the Super Bowl is obviously the biggest event in television. So I do think that she helped sort of rehabilitate his reputation a little bit, but I also think this, you messed up, A-Rod. I saw the rumors about you and that girl from Southern Charm. I watched Southern Charm, A-Rod. Oh, sounds like you apologizing.
Oh, that's right. Sounds, tell me what happened.
Sounds like you apologizing.
She's call me. What happened with Southern Charm?
Her name is Madison. She's on Southern Charm with Shep and the boys out there. Southern Charm's about Charleston, South Carolina. It's about a lot of people that they drink a lot, Jay. Like, they wake up and drink. Like, every time I watch that show, I'm like, y'all need to take a day off. Like, go to the spa, drink some green juice. Like, I love an adult beverage as much as the next guy, but you can't be doing this every day of the week in the morning when the sun's out. Come on now. Love that show. Big shout to Below Deck Sailing Yacht as well and all my reality TV watchers. Jalen, you know, I compared the Nets to Bitcoin, right?
I'm just really proud of that.
You can steal that one for Countdown, dog. Steal that one for Countdown. Go ahead. I'm going to be watching Countdown.
I'm going to be watching Countdown. That's one of those, like, you can't steal without shouting out the person.
I stole so much from you. I owe you, dog.
I know, but there's certain bars, though. There's certain hooks that when you say them, it's just mandatory that you shout them out. You know what I'm saying? So I feel that falls into the Jacoby vault of exclusives that when I want to reach in and steal one of those, like Stretch Mark 5, I gotta shout you.
You don't, but I bring that up not to just pat myself on the back, but to also bring up that Chiefs tight end Sean Culkin plans to convert his entire 2021 salary into Bitcoin. His entire salary into Bitcoin. Now, I've obviously researched cryptocurrency and I know something about it. I do not invest in it, but what does it tell you that there are athletes, Trevor Lawrence is getting paid in some Bitcoin, that are just turning their money into Bitcoin?
I'm gonna just throw a name out there as one of the, I know KD was an early investor. Spencer Dinwiddie, I recall, a couple of years ago going to the Nets and trying to do something sort of similar. Here's what I'll say, and by the way, Spencer Dinwiddie, there's a small chance he might come back this year.
I know.
I ain't even tell you that, and when I see him, and then I see the big three, you know I'm going to change my field prediction, right? But he ain't back yet.
I know.
But he ain't back yet.
Harden's going to come back on, like, game 70. Watch. Harden comes back game 70, plays 71, 72, and then all of a sudden the Nets are going to tear up the first round, and you're going to change your prediction. I know how it goes.
Well, also, this tells me two things. Number one, how athletes are smarter and more sophisticated financially than ever. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful thing because that's an entire different language. If you don't understand what that means, try talking in someone else's language that you don't know. That's how it is. It's just a different language.
This is one of my
language.
Favorite bits. Jalen, please do your French thing. Please speak French for us.
Si vous plaît. You know what I'm saying? I got a couple in the vault. You know what I mean?
But you're talking about athletes.
Here's the thing. First, they're more intelligent and sophisticated. Second, the first thing that came out to my mind when you said it was Rick Ross's hustling. They have more money to try to plant seeds like this to create a harvest.
Jalen, I'm glad you brought up Rick Ross when it comes to this because Nasir Jones, better known as Nas, his Queensbridge Venture Partners invested in Coinbase in 2013. And if they get listed on NASDAQ, he could get about $100 million. his venture company. $100 million.
Big shout to his guy, Anthony, who got him into that deal. And they worked closely together to make moves. And also, it's in my fantasy league. The big, big, big one. But again,
he's in there.
Absolutely. But it shows a level of sophistication by the athlete and by the teams. And by the teams, because if Spencer was trying to do it, they didn't want to allow him to do whatever he was trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's fascinating to me. Like, and then the Warriors are putting out NFTs. They've got their own sort of like NFTs, and Top Shot is such a big deal. Like, I read an article about Halliburton, and Halliburton was like 3,000th in line for a Top Shot drop that he was going to get, and he had a team meeting, so he gave the training people his passcode and his phone so he could get the Top Shot drop. And I'm sitting there being like, I don't know what is going on. I'm starting to feel
language.
Old, Jay.
A different
I'm starting
language.
To feel old, man. I'm starting to feel old. I really am starting to feel old. We always appreciate when people that listen to this show interact with us. So right now, if you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us voicemails for the program. We always want to hear from you. Some of the best content we've ever made is from these voicemails. So if you call 985-80-JALEN, you can be part of the show just like this.
Yo, shout out Rich. Chance from the ATL. Yo, Rich, hit the brakes, fam. I heard y'all say it's okay to go to the middle urinal in the men's bathroom. Incorrect. That is a violation of man law, number 5. You do not go to that middle urinal. It's 2 on the end to take. You wait. You got to give us some of that space, man. Man law violation. Another question. To Kobe, have you used the Jalen juice? All right, fellas, y'all have a good one. Keep getting them checks. Yep.
Oh, did they cut off the medicinal? He definitely said, yep, medicinal at the end. He definitely did. They tried to clean it up. Okay, couple things. Number one, I think he said his name was Ted from ATL. Ted, sorry if I got your name wrong. Really appreciate the shout. Dog, if I got to pee, I'm peeing. That's why they put the urinal there. I'm peeing. I'm old, man. I got one. You got one. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't worried about you looking at me. I don't really care. Like, I'm peeing if I got to pee. That's why they put the urinal there. That urinal there is there for a reason. I'm peeing in the middle urinal. I don't care.
Peace up, A-Town down. What up, cousin? Here's what I'll say to you. Okay. The first thing I thought about as he was speaking was Biggie's lyrics. And he was talking about man laws and stuff like that. I don't know why this song popped in my head, but I was like, somebody got to die. If I go, you got to go. Because let me tell you something. You're clearly 35 or younger. Once you get like 40, you don't pick and choose when it's time to go to the bathroom, dog. That's not how this works. You know, you're like 15 and you can like hold it for like 2 hours and you stomp your foot and you move around and jump around and people can be, y'all could be on a road trip. You're like, just hold it. And then before you know it, you got pulled to the side of the road and go hit a tree after you've been holding it for 3 hours. It ain't like that when you get 40, dog. When
That's
I know
so depressing.
I'm gonna drink my gallon of water, that gotta be a period of time where I know I ain't about to be in the car for a while.
It's so depressing. One of the worst things about turning over 40 is when you pee, when you're done peeing, you're not done peeing. And everyone over 40 knows what I'm talking about, and everyone under 35 is like, what are you talking about? You're gonna find out.
And
remember
then like
this.
5 minutes later, be like, do I gotta go again?
Yeah. You're washing your hands and you're like, wait a second. This didn't empty that out. You don't fully empty the clip. That first shot. Everyone under 30 is like, what is he talking about? Remember I said this. Remember this moment in your life.
That's
about
why
10
you
years
have OGs
make
in
sense.
Your life. That's why you got OGs in your life.
When you're done peeing, you're not done peeing. I remember my dad said this. My dad said this to me. Big shout to John Jacoby. He said to me, I was like 19. We're at some family function. He's like, David, can you eat whatever you want? And I was like, Dad, like, what do you mean? Like, can I afford it? Like, what do you mean? Can I eat whatever? Like, can I physically eat? He's like, I was like, what do you mean? He's like, no, can you just eat whatever you want? And I was like, I didn't even understand the question. Then I turned about 35. I completely understand the question now. And no, now I cannot eat whatever I want. No, I cannot eat whatever I want. The pandemic proved that. Early on in the panty, I wasn't working out. I was stuck in the house, eating, drinking. Next thing you know, I look down like, wait a second. Either I trimmed my pubic hairs or my belly did it for me. I can't tell. And to answer your second question, Ted Tad T from the ATL, I have my own version of Jalen Juice, and it's for different purposes. It's an immunity shot, basically. It's a ginger shot with cayenne pepper and lemon juice in it. I have one 5 days a week. And look, I can't prove that's why I didn't get COVID, but I can't prove that's not why I didn't get COVID. Okay? That's all I can say about that.
So here's what I want to say, Jacoby.
What's that?
I'm about to start back DJing.
Okay, you've been saying that for about 7 years, but sure.
Right. I'm about to start back DJing. And
get him, Reg.
You know, a DJ and a chef are really protective of their records and their recipes.
Mm-hmm.
I shared a recipe with the public about 10 years ago. I wrote down the recipes of the thing that you buy and probably spend $8 for every day.
Oh, probably 18.
You said ginger. That's in Jalen Juice.
No,
you
not.
Said cayenne. That's in Jalen Juice.
Mm-hmm.
You said lemon. That's in Jalen Juice. That's basically what it is.
Ginger is not in Jalen Juice. We can go back on wax. You have apple cider vinegar, cayenne, lemon.
The only thing that's missing from the recipe is apple cider vinegar and water. So that just reminds me, you know what's gonna happen?
What?
I need to have this in stores. I need to do something about this.
I like this.
You know what?
Like
you
this.
Just taught me something. You just
like
taught
this.
Me something. You know what? You shouldn't be walking into somewhere spending $15 for that when I could give it to you for $8.
There you go.
I had to call up my brother Styles P.
This is an important question that I want. This is going to be controversial, so buckle up, everybody.
Uh-oh.
CDC came out yesterday and said, new guidelines.
Controversy.
If you're fully vaccinated, which I am.
Controversy.
And you're outside, which I am a lot. And you can socially distance, which I can.
Controversy.
Because there's nobody in New York anymore. You don't have to wear a mask. So... why do Reg? I know the rules. Reg's like, you're not fully vaccinated unless you're 2 weeks out of your last shot.
But that's
like,
an important bullet. I'm glad he said that.
Man. I know.
I'm glad he said that.
I got the guidelines, fully vaccinated. I'm 2 weeks out. I got the J&J, one shot, one kill. So my question is this: why do I still wear a mask when I'm walking around? Like, why am I still doing it?
Here's
it's like,
why.
I'm waiting for everybody else to jump in the pool. Like, I got everybody else got to start doing it first.
I'm gonna answer for you.
Okay.
This has been a fatal, serious disease that's killed around 600,000 people and have changed life for how we know it for the foreseeable future as it relates to crowds, touching, and think about it, wearing masks. Just wearing masks, period, is something that we're now, it's like wearing a condom. At first it was like, I ain't gonna do it, all the reasons why. Same like a seatbelt. I'm not gonna do it. All of the reasons why. Now wearing a mask is something that you should do. And I use those examples because those examples are also fatal if you don't make the right decisions. And I bring that up because, Jacoby, while getting your two vaccinated shots, and I'm getting my next one Thursday of this week,
shout out to you.
Red says something that's really important. It takes 2 weeks for it to be considered fully vaccinated, which means if we're not getting shots on the same day, which we're not, that means it's going to be staggered.
But I'm fully vaccinated. I'm fully vaccinated, outside, still wearing a mask.
I know, but there are also human beings that got vaccinated that are still within that 2-week window.
Mm-hmm.
Because y'all didn't get it on the same day. So my point is, that's why we're going to continue to need to play defense against this thing. Like, I hate to tell everybody, but this ain't about to be the summer that we can all not wear masks.
No.
I don't know if Jalen Rose need to be the person to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you this. This is your 2020. So get ready.
July 4th ain't going to be crowds standing next to each other, hot dogs, and you know, everyone's crowded wearing tank tops and no masks. Not this year.
I don't mean to be the buzzkill, but that's not going to be able to do it. At least for another year. At least for another 12 months. So I know you want to celebrate birthdays and holidays. I do too. And you will. But it's going to be different. And just be emotionally and psychologically ready for it. When you look in the mirror, do you see reality or do you see your representative? I'm here to bring reality. That ain't changed. I don't care how hot it is in July in Florida, in Georgia, in New York City, in Michigan, where I am right now, and the cases are spiking. This is a real thing. There are people that are not only walking around, like you just said, Jacoby, that either three different stages, one just got vaccinated, two weeks away that may or may not be fully vaccinated, and three, the people that just feel like they don't want to wear masks.
Mm-hmm.
Am I the only person that see people out that's doing that?
Well, New York has got, everyone's wearing a mask. In New York City, where it's like 95% of the people you see, and the other people just got it around their chin. You know? Like, yeah, I got it. But for me, it's just like, I'm fully vaccinated.
On their wrist.
Yeah. I'm fully vaccinated. I'm outside. I'm away from people, but I still don't feel right. I just don't want people looking at me. You know what I mean? I just don't want people looking at me. Like, I want to set an example and be a role model. That's all I'm trying to do. And I'm waiting for other people to jump in the pool. I'm not going to be the first one. I'm not going to be the only one out there without a mask on. But
play the marathon.
I encourage people to get vaccinated. I really do. I believe in science. I got vaccinated. Feels great. But you know one thing I am doing this year, Jalen Rose? We come to a close. I'm playing outdoor pickup basketball with strangers, not wearing a mask. That's what I'm doing. That's why I got the shot. I got the shot so I can play basketball at the court, get picked up on a team, and then go 1-for-4 from the field and make the guy that picked me up on the team regret that he picked me up from the team, because that's how I get down.
And one of the funnest days of my recent pandemic life was meeting David Jacoby at an undisclosed location, playing outdoor basketball with a ski mask
and mask. I was about to die.
I was like, yo, and I was like, I can't even barely see. You start moving, the mask started moving, the ski mask is moving, but I was having so much fun. You forget
that
wind hit you. It was winter too a little bit. It was
I played great that day, though. That was one of my best days in the past like 4 years. I was getting buckets that day.
I made my teammates better, Doc.
Yeah, you always make your teammates better. That's on the basketball court and on this program.
That's
mutual,
family.
Appreciate you, Jalen Rose. I know today is difficult for you. Yep. I love you very much. On behalf of everybody on the staff, we are behind you, and we will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Anthony
Rose? Rest in peace, Jeannie Cassandra Rose. I love you very much. We're going to celebrate you today and every day on your 80th birthday. We're not done. We're not done. We are not done.